this time. We are hoping to be joined by a guest. Had a little bit of communications issues this morning getting him on the phone, and so hoping that we can make connections before the end of the show to talk to Scott Swofford, who is a friend of mine and also coordinating publicity for the National or the Missouri Whitewater Championships is this weekend down on the St. Francis River. The Missouri Whitewater Alliance is the organization that supports that or runs that. Scott, who I've known that since college, we were in fraternity in college together, and he's a outdoor kayak guy, and he's participated in not only the whitewater racing down at St. Francis, that's going to be down this weekend, but also in the MR340, which is the race from basically Kansas City to St. Louis. It's a multiple day event where folks canoe from one side of the state of Missouri to the other. And so,
wow, somewhere you can actually do that.
You can actually do that, and lots of people do, and they have several divisions. They have tandem canoes that will do it. They'll have multi-person canoes that do that. That's not until September or in August, July or August. So if we can't get Scott today, we'll work on getting Scott in the future.
I think we got him, though.
All right. Way to go, Ryan. Radio Ryan to the rescue.
Just called in. All right. Are you there, Scott?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Scott.
Sorry for the mix-up.
No, must have missed number two or transposed the number two. So glad to have you join us along again. I was introducing Scott, a actually retired now professor of journalism from the University of Missouri Columbia. But we're going to talk about the Missouri Whitewater Association and the Missouri Whitewater Championships that are coming up this weekend here in the regional radio area. Scott, thank you for your time. What can you tell us about what's your association with the Missouri Whitewater Association?
I've been a member of the Whitewater Association for nearly 30 years now. My first exposure to the races was actually as a journalist. I went down to cover the Whitewater Championships in 1991 for the Columbia Daily Tribune, where I was working then, and also as a freelancer for the Missouri Conservationist. And I had been dabbling with some friends in whitewater canoeing for a few years. But when I went down there and saw what these guys were doing, I just fell in love with it, and I knew I had to step up my game and become a part of it. So I started racing in 1993 and haven't missed a year since.
Wow, so you're on the schedule or planning to get in the water again this weekend then?
Oh yeah, I'll be down there. I'm an open boater, which is whitewater slang for a canoeist rather than a kayaker. I'll be racing in the downriver race on Friday afternoon, and then on Sunday I'll be doing the canoe slalom race.
All right, and so tell us a little bit about the history of the Missouri Whitewater Championships. This is the 55th year. How have they evolved? Have they always been at St. Francis? At the St. Francis? Tell us what you can about the history of the event.
Yeah, the Missouri Whitewater Championships actually started on the Merrimack River. I don't know if they called them Whitewater Championships back there. Back then, because there's not a whole lot of whitewater on the Merrimack, but the Merrimack River Canoe Club started this event and held the race for 3 years on the Merrimack in 65, 66, and 67. And then the Arnold Whitewater Association, along with the Sierra Club, took over the race in 1968 and moved it to the St. Francis River for the first time. They used to have the race near Silver Mines Recreation Area, which is a federal property down in St. Francis. But after 20 years in 88, when a gentleman by the name of Elmer Tiemann had his property declared Mill Stream Gardens Conservation Area, they moved the race upriver, which is a much better venue for spectators, and it's a little more challenging rapids too. So that's where they've been having the races for the past 20 years or so.
And when people think of whitewater, they probably don't think of many Ozark streams, but the St. Francis River can really step up to that name. And if we get a little bit of rain on Thursday night and into Friday, how will that impact the race and the racing and the river and just in general, what are the conditions like there on the St. Francis there, team and shut-ins?
Yeah, typically the St. Francis is considered class 2 and 3 whitewater, but as you say, if you get a little bit of rain, that can change in a hurry depending on how much rain you get. I think right now we're expecting about a half an inch Thursday or Friday, which will be enough to boost the river up a little bit, but it won't jump it up to class 4, which, you know, sometimes when you really, really get a downpour, St. Francis can get to class 4 and even class 5. And that's not really what we want for the races, because then, you know, a lot of times we have to say novices, you're out, you can't do it. And even sometimes if it gets way out of control, we just have to postpone the races altogether. But we're expecting probably class 3 conditions. But it all has to do with river levels. It can change the nature of the race dramatically when you're at low water levels. It's really more rocks than water. You have to really, the course designers have to work really hard to figure out where is the river going to channelize, where are we going to have enough water that a boat can get through, and as a racer, you've really got to make sure you're not hitting rocks all over the place. But then as the water level rises, the waves get bigger and the rocks get fewer.
And water gets faster.
Everything. Oh, yeah, it can get a lot pushier, a lot faster, absolutely. So there are different challenges at different levels.
You mentioned two different races that you were going to be participating in, and others as well. They called it the Downriver Race and the Slalom portion, or the Slalom Race on Sunday. Can you kind of just give us a rundown of what those two races, rules and regulations and courses are going to be like?
Yeah, sure. The Downriver will be on Friday afternoon. I think it's going to start about 4:30. But that's a very simple point A to point B through the rapids. And you know, there are also some pools. But point A to point B as fast as you can go. Pretty simple. And they start the racers. Sometimes we do a mass start, but most years we do 1 minute staggered starts. So one motor starts at a time, and you're racing against the clock. Slalom, you know, most people are more familiar with slalom as a term referring to skiing that you see in the Olympics and that kind of thing. So, just like that, in slalom racing, you have gates that the boaters have to navigate through. And there are upstream gates, there are downstream gates, and the course designers always put those gates in the most challenging places they can, and they really force you to read the water, use the water, perform eddies and ferries to get to that point in the river that you need to be to get through the gate. If you touch a gate with your paddle, your boat, or your body, that's a 5-second penalty, so you got to try to get through it clean. If you miss a gate altogether, that's a 50-second penalty, so you really don't want to do that. So we have slalom races all day Saturday and Sunday, different classes. Saturday is kayaks and then what we call C1s. C1s are, as opposed to an open boat, which in whitewater jargon is called an OC1, that's your standard whitewater canoe. It'll have flotation bags in it and that sort of thing, but very susceptible to taking on water if you're not careful going through the big waves. A decked canoe looks a lot more like a kayak, but you're kneeling in it and you're using a single blade paddle. And then of course you have your traditional kayaks, which are bladed paddles are sitting in it, and then we have different classes for length of boats and that sort of thing.
I interviewed Mason Gagnon, who is a 16-year-old from Hillsboro who competed a couple of years ago as a novice, earned a medal, and so this year he gets to compete as a expert in the 18 and under category. You have the races will be set up with the categories male, female, and age groups, or how? An expert and novice, how are all the sorted out? How are all the racers sorted out for the event?
So most folks race novice to begin with, and you can race novice until you earn a medal in a particular event, then you're considered an expert for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, or, you know, you can choose to race expert if you've never raced before, if you think you have the skill level. And then in the plastic kayak divisions, there's a composite kayak division. So if you're paddling a carbon fiber or a Kevlar kayak or something like that, or fiberglass, those boats race in their own division, and there's no age classes. But in the plastic kayak divisions, we have the under 18. And then this year, for the first time, we're going to have a collegiate class. We have a lot of paddlers who are coming from under 18, then we have 18 to 29, 30 to 39, 40 to 49, 50 to 59, and then 60 plus. And that's only for kayaks. Blokes like me who paddle in canoes, we don't get the advantage of racing only against people our age. We have to race against everybody.
You went down, you said you went there and covered it as a journalist for the Columbia Daily Tribune, also for the Conservationist. So you went there as a spectator, you saw it and were hooked. What can spectators, or if someone's heard about this over the last 50 plus years and said, I really like to go see that, what are they going to see and what's the venue like for watching kayak racing down there at the DeVincenzo's?
Yeah, so this is at Millstream Gardens Conservation Area, which is on Highway 72, right between Ironton on the west and Fredericktown on the east. And it's a really spectator-friendly venue. So the reason we have these really nice rapids and Teeman shut-ins at Millstream is because the river gets squeezed by these great big granite boulders. And that's good for spectators because they can find a perch on these boulders and sit right on top of the river, and there are some spots, if you're adventurous enough to get down as close as you can, you can practically reach out and tap a paddler on the head. It is, it can be, the footing can be kind of tricky, so you're going to want to wear the right shoes and, you know, not be slipping around and that kind of thing. But it's beautiful scenery. The river is beautiful. And you're going to see, if you come down on Saturday or Sunday, you're going to see racers all day long. So Sunday is, if you want to watch canoes, Sunday is when they'll be doing the slalom races. Saturday is mostly about kayaks and C1s. But you're going to see a steady stream of racers coming through the rapids, navigating these gates. And most people like to set up as spectators somewhere around the biggest drop on the river, which is called Big Drop Rapids. Pretty exciting to watch these folks go through there. They not only have to navigate these big waves, but they also have to navigate the gates wherever the course designers have decided to put them. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
You mentioned a couple times the course designers. Are you going to be involved in putting some of those gates out there, or who is going to be putting the gates out?
So, no, I don't have the kind of expertise it takes to do that. This year, as in many years, the course designer is a guy by the name of Chuck McHenry, who he knows the St. Francis River better than anybody. He lives down in Ironton, paddles it all the time, and he just knows that river like the back of his hand. And, you know, he can, given the forecast for rain, he knows approximately where to stick those gates to make people navigate the parts of the river that he, you know, each year it's different. So you really have to have a high level of knowledge about how the river's going to be flowing to get involved in course design. There's a guy by the name of Joe Sartori from the St. Louis area who also helps with course design quite a bit. It does take a lot of people to set these courses up because you have to string wires and strings across the river so that you can then tie the gates onto those and then lower them down to exactly where the course designer wants them. So it's quite an involved affair. In fact, they did the bulk of that work this past weekend. And then on this coming Thursday, that's when they'll finish setting all that up. So that's a really, really technical, involved enterprise. I'll go down there and do some of the grunt work, but I don't have the expertise it takes to design a course.
So that's this weekend. Can you give us some particulars, times, dates, and places for folks to interested in coming to it? And it's not something you have to go to all 3 days to see something you might enjoy. What, when, and where?
No, you can come for just a couple hours. So the Downriver race is on Friday, and I'll be honest, the Downriver race is not the most spectator-friendly thing because you could, you know, if you wanted to set yourself up above Big Drop, you're going to see a lot of boats coming through, but they're just going to be going through as fast as they possibly can. They come through, they're gone. But, you know, some people might get a kick out of that. The slalom races are really the more spectator-friendly events. Those will begin at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday and at 8:30 a.m. on Sunday. And on Saturday, the races generally go through about probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Sunday, we try to
Scott, really do appreciate your time, but I wanted to mention to Ryan before we got started about the MR Missouri River 340 event. I know you've participated in that, and that'll be coming up this summer again. Can you tell us a little bit about that event and from your experience and what kind of excitement you found in it?
Yeah, that's that's a whole different ballgame than whitewater paddling. The 340 is that is largely, you know, you got to have some physical prowess, but that is mostly a mental and logistical challenge. How am I going to set myself up to stay on the river and go as fast as I can for 340 miles? Whereas, you know, the downriver race at the St. Francis is 2.5 miles. You know, it's a completely different ballgame. Mental challenge, logistical challenge, you know, kind of ground support and supplies and all that sort of thing. Exciting is not exactly the way I would describe Missouri River 340. But it is, you know, there's a real sense of accomplishment when you pull that off. I've finished that race three times, once with my wife, once with a friend, and then several years ago I was able to do it on a 42-foot dragon boat with 19 paddlers aboard. So that was a lot of fun. Go ahead.
I was just saying, it's all kinds of boats. You mentioned all the different classes and all the different things that you'll have on the St. Francis River. On the MR 340 is going to have all different kinds of boats.
You'll see a lot of what they call surf skis, really, really long kayak boats. Some of them have outriggers on them. They can be, you know, whereas whitewater racing, you're going to see boats are generally in the 7 to 10 foot range, maybe as long as 12 feet, but in the 340, you're going to see extremely long boats, really narrow boats, things that are just built for speed, anywhere from 1 to 6 paddlers, and in a rare case, you might have something like what we did with 19 paddlers. That was a rare occasion. Nobody else had done anything like that. I did forget to mention stand-up paddles. Paddle boards. We do have those in the downriver race down at St. Francis, and you get a lot of stand-up paddlers competing at the 340 as well.
So that is all coming up this weekend. Where can folks find out more about the race that's coming up this weekend, the more particulars about that, in addition to, like I said, I did a little story on Mason Gagnon that we should be in the Leader newspaper this week. Where else can they find some things?
Well, we have a really good website, MissouriWhitewater.org, where you can find out a lot about the race and about other aspects of the Whitewater Association. If people are interested in whitewater paddling, the Whitewater Association has a spring clinic every year. This year it's May 14th and 15th. You can get a lot of information about that on our website in MissouriWhitewater.org. If you're interested in registering for that, we also have pool events, all kinds of opportunities for people to get involved. We have a very active Facebook page as well. If people want to look for opportunities to jump in and get involved.
Thanks very much, Scott, for your time this morning, for telling us a little bit about the event. I think, as they say, we'll see you on the water and or hope to see you sometime soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Good deal. All right. And we'll call that a wrap for the Scenic View. We have a couple of other events coming up this weekend. The Antler Score.